Good morning again. Shouldn't make this connection, but I'm going to anyway. But for the sake of integrity, I won't quote who this is from. But we'll just say a modern celebrity. I came across this a few weeks ago. Says, just because you lost me as a friend doesn't mean you gained me as an enemy. I still want to see you eat, just not at my table. And that is seemingly good worldly wisdom. But it's not the gospel. And as we sing this song, it just reminds me of how powerful the gospel is that once enemies of God, now seated at his table, which is such a picture of fellowship and acceptance and love amidst the sins that we've committed against him and Christ. And so the gospel message is just a reminder, it's so contrary to worldly wisdom. And so just grateful for that song, grateful for all of our songs this morning, especially, and as you've been around, you know, I have little for music and can't remember anything, but the second song, Ryan, we sang was the new one, that's Christ Our Hope in Life and Death, and it could not be a more appropriate song for Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 as we talk about that very thing. Our hope in life and death. And so we have been working through these, we'll call them Genesis patriarchs, these fathers of our faith. They start back from the beginning. If you've been with us for the past probably 6 weeks or so, maybe 2 months, we've been, we started with Abel there and Enoch and then Noah, Abraham and Sarah. And then last week we started with Isaac. We'll come back to Isaac this morning. But all of these men and women of the faith who that's what they had. They had faith, not something they generated, not something they had because they were special, because we see the faith the Lord had instilled in them and they responded in that faith and they walked in that faith. And so now in Hebrews chapter 11, we see what that faith has produced in them. And like what the direction James went last week to kind of take a sidestep from what faith produces to remind us what is not produced by faith, what doesn't produce faith, which is knowledge. And the faith does not come from disobedience, but a true biblical faith produces an obedient walk with the Lord. And so so we've just been walking through faith and what it looks like in Hebrews chapter 11, and just this continual reminder that this is not a hall of fame of unique individuals who have done these amazing things because they're amazing people, but these individuals who have walked with an amazing God and have had their faith and have placed it in an amazing Savior, the Messiah who would be to come. And that's what we'll continue to look at this morning. And so although James started Isaac this morning, we're actually going to come back to Isaac, and we're also going to grab Jacob over there and then pick up Joseph in the car, and we're going to finish this Genesis kind of group, if you will. And the next week we'll be on to Moses. Not to do so in a hurry by any stretch, because if nothing else, we've demonstrated a deep commitment to slowness over the years. This week actually marks 1 year since we started the book of Hebrews. And who knows and who cares how much longer we're in it, right? We're going to just each week continually be faithful to expounding upon God's word. And so, but the point of grabbing these three guys, the point of lumping Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph together is because there's a very specific thread between these three guys that I'd like us to see this morning that the writer of Hebrews wanted his original audience to see. And that's what we'll take a look at today. So let's pick up Hebrews chapter 11. As always, we'll read the first couple of verses and then hop into our text. So Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, a reminder of what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by faith, the people of old, these patriarchs, received their commendation. And by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are invisible. And so this definition of faith, this assurance of things hoped for, that we'll see so clearly this morning in Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And so, as we said, we walked through the life of Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and then Isaac a little bit last week, and again Abraham. And so And not that we've walked really through the lives of these individuals, and we have as a church as we've gone through Genesis a few years back, but we've kind of have at least taken a look to see what their life looked like in Genesis and what we can know from Scripture, and then allow Hebrews to help us to understand what how that life was greatly shaped and impacted by their faith. And so, as we continue this morning in Hebrews 11 and a couple of verses, or three verses, 20, 21, and 22, it says, by faith, in verse 20, Isaac invoked the future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? So let's see how the Lord will lead us this morning. But let's pray. Lord, again, we come to you, Father. We come to you often on Sunday mornings in our corporate gathering to always be reminded of our great need of you. And as we come to your word, Lord, we need you. We need the Spirit to enlighten us, to bring illumination to this text, Lord. And so we just pray, Father, that you'd help us to see clearly your word this morning and to see Christ exalted clearly as well. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this morning. And we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So here are these three individuals, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, if you've been with us for a long time and you were with us through Genesis, I feel like the moan sometimes. Oh, we spent so long in Genesis, so we spent forever on Jacob, and there was just a little bit on Isaac, and then we spent a long time on Joseph. And it's good stuff because it's good stuff, right? As we go through that, it's a great reminder. But in light of that, we won't give them a long biography this morning, but we do want to take a quick look at these three guys before we see these threads that run through these three and why they're kind of one unit, why we're looking at Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So if you take Isaac, and James covered much of Isaac's life last week, and Scripture is silent about much of his life. We know a little bit of him as a child. We know a lot about him as a child of promise. We know that Abraham went to sacrifice him, but the Lord provided another sacrifice, a lamb. And we know that he had, obviously, Jacob as a son, and Esau as a son. We know a little bit about his marriage. And we know things about him, but not nearly as much as Jacob and Joseph. But Isaac's role in Scripture is more about who he represents than even what he does. He is the child of promise. He is the proof that God fulfills his promises. He is the proof that God is a God of promise. He's a promise maker and a promise keeper. And yet his life, as recorded by the Bible, is rather uneventful. Now, there are many events for sure, but in comparison, I know we don't like to compare. Comparison's a great destroyer. I get it. We don't want to take away from Isaac, but in comparison to Jacob and Joseph, there's not as many events. With Jacob, it is a roller coaster ride, if you remember all the things he did. And with Joseph, it is a roller coaster ride of his life and all of his events. And so Isaac's story is a little bit different. But although it's a little uneventful, it is a wonderful story. It's an amazing story of God's grace and providence and his faithfulness. And Isaac, as we see, as we're reminded here in chapter 11, verse 20, Isaac walked with and trusted the Lord. He believed in God's promises. He had faith. He had this confidence, assurance, and this confident expectation that God would do what he said he would do. And this is why we know that Isaac truly walked with the Lord, and he looked to the Lord. He trusted that God would save and that God would redeem. Some would go as far as to say, would describe Isaac as passive, and some would even say that he was weak in comparison. When we see some of the weakness in these individuals, we see that Jacob was a cheat. Some would say that Isaac was weak. But despite this, God used him. God did mighty things in him. God used his weakness. And isn't that a great encouragement, right? That you don't have to have it all together. And sometimes we have this very false idea that we have to have it all together, and then we come to the Lord. I mean, I've heard it so many times over the years. A preacher, hey, as soon as I get my life right, I'm going to come to trust the Lord. Well, you miss the gospel. It's because we're a wreck. It's because we don't have it together. It's because we're weak and we need the Lord. It's because we're liars and cheats. It's because all of these things that we need the Lord. And so God uses Isaac in very clear and specific ways. And you get to Jacob. And as we said, if you go to Genesis, a good portion of Genesis is dedicated to Jacob, because Jacob is also known and will later be known after his encounter with God as Israel. And so Jacob, there's a lot to be said of Jacob and Israel in Genesis, because so much rests on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So much rests on the promises of God to these three men in the history of Israel. So a lot is said about Jacob as we get to know him, and a lot to be said there. If you want to do some reading this week and just be reminded of who Jacob is and all of his encounters, and sometimes his very deceptive encounters, we're like, how can God use this guy? Like, I'm a rock star compared to him. I should be in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we miss the gospel, right? And so it's not about these individuals, but it's who their hope is in. And so we know, even from the womb, we know God's intention with Jacob and Esau. We see in Romans chapter 9. And so we could say that we know God's plan for Jacob's life from the womb to the tomb. But in the midst of his life, Jacob has several incredible encounters with God, and each of those build upon God's work in his life and build upon his faith. Includes, you know, him having this vivid dream of the ladder of the heaven and God meeting him there, and him even wrestling with the angel of the Lord that would leave him forever changed. And so he has some very exciting encounters with the Lord. But one thing we see consistently in Jacob's life is what he would not want you to see consistently in his life, is that he was a cheat. A lot of times he was deceptive. Even his very name Jacob means liar. So we saw this as we walked through Genesis very slowly and intentionally a couple of years ago. But God, just as God uses Isaac and his weakness, God uses Jacob despite his deceptiveness. Again, God is not looking for those who have it together. God has a plan, and God is the great orchestrator of his plan. And God doesn't need us to fulfill his plan. God doesn't need us. He is not waiting for us to move so that his plan can move forward. God, but he chooses to use us. And so he uses Isaac. He uses Jacob. And then we see Joseph. Like Jacob, we know a lot about Joseph. And Joseph, like if we were to rank him right, he may be our favorite. We love the story of Joseph. It is that riches to rags to riches story. You know, he starts off in the house of his father and has it all together. He's like the favorite child. He's walking and bebopping along, and his brothers just don't like that. And remember what happens? They pick him up and they put him on his shoulders and they say, "Yay, we love you, Joseph." No, they pick him up and throw him in a pit. And if you remember, it was the pit of despair, right? It was the pit of despair that he could have despaired and could have had that victim mentality and that victim mindset. But instead, we see consistently from the very pit, as we said in Genesis, from the pit to the palace, Joseph continued to trust the Lord. He continued to look to the Lord. And he ends up a victim in so many situations. As you read the story, it seems so fair. It seems so unfair, but he continues to trust God's providence. And that becomes the recurring theme in his life, is that what the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. And we see this beautiful story of forgiveness in the gospel in Joseph's life. Joseph demonstrates a life of consistent faithfulness and trust in the Lord in the midst of nearly impossible situations and circumstances. And maybe you line up with Joseph a little more. Maybe you line up with your circumstances. You look at your life and you just say, man, my circumstances are always against me. And so Joseph demonstrates very well that despite one's circumstances, God uses us. He's not looking for the one who finds himself in the right circumstances all the time. God uses us despite his circumstances. So that's just kind of a little backdrop to these three, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And although these three have, I would say, vastly different stories from one another, they have very different lives. Although there are great similarities, there's a lot of great differences of how they walk with the Lord, how they trust the Lord. But there are some very strong threads that bind them together, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. And so just to quickly read those verses again, that by faith, Isaac invoked these future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So there's three great similarities between these three. And the first is this, is that they are all older and in their last years, if you will. As we'll come to in just a second about the kind of when they die, we see there are different stages maybe of closer to death, but ultimately they're in their latter years. They're in their, they're getting close to the end of their life. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, they all could have been listed in Hebrews 11 for something vastly different, right? I mean, Isaac could have been listed differently. Jacob and Joseph could have different things that they were mentioned for, but the writer of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he lists them in Hebrews 11 with these things at the end of their life. Not at the beginning of their journey, not in the middle of their journey, not even in the high points, right? Man, if you look at their life, you can say, wow, this is what they did by faith. But no, he points to very specific moments that were later in their life. You could have easily said, by faith, Isaac trusted the Lord's provision while laying on the altar. We don't see any account of him fighting. And maybe even then, at 12 years old, he was trusting the Lord. He could have said, by faith, Jacob wrestled with God. Wrestled with God. And he would not let go by faith. And we see how God used that. We could have said, by faith, Joseph did not despair in the midst of various trials. But all these things, the writer and the Holy Spirit chooses to use these specific moments at the end of their life that was not even necessarily focused on themselves, but focused on their children and focused on the future of God's people. These acts are recorded in their twilight years, if you will, when they are old and gray. We're going to make an assumption they're gray. We don't have the color picture of the Bible. We're going to assume they're older and they're gray in these years. And we don't have to speculate much of how they have changed and grown in the Lord. We see their life early, we see their life late, and we see almost a pretty different person from whenever they were walking with the Lord early and then their latter years and how they were trusting the Lord. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, if you will, real quick, just to see a picture of this kind of growth and how our faith is strengthened as we walk with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians 4:16, to the end of the chapter there. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. As you get older, do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel like, you know, I know we have like a wide range in here, right, of age. And so we experience age differently. But all of us, as we get older, we feel that age. We feel the wasting away of the outer self. But the inner self, which is what we are concerned with as believers, it is being renewed, not occasionally, not Sunday by Sunday, not, you know, camp by camp, but day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, the things of faith. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we see this picture as believers, as we grow in the Lord, as we mature, and as we get older, that hopefully our body is not just aging, but hopefully our inner man, our inner woman, that our true self, the spirit inside of us, is maturing as we walk with the Lord, as we trust the Lord. And I would say this, is that our faith strengthens the longer we walk with the Lord. And we see this in Isaac, and we see this in Jacob, we see this in Joseph. There seems to be a strengthening of who they truly are as they walk with the Lord. These men, they were wasting away, yet they were being renewed day by day. And that is great hope to us as we think about Lamentations. Years ago, I remember Lamentations chapter 3 and that incredible passage that says that His mercies are new every morning. And so there's this picture of renewal every day. There's this picture of even whenever life has us down, that God is speaking to us and that God is renewing us and that we can grow and walk and be strengthened with Him every single day. Our faith strengthens the longer that we walk with the Lord. But just so we're not amiss, gray does not mean godly. And sometimes we may make that mistake, as we see even in the book of Job, that Elihu kind of sets those guys straight when it comes to age. But when someone walks with the Lord and they trust the Lord and they see the Lord work and they trust the word of the Lord and they treasure the word of the Lord throughout decades of life, their faith is undoubtedly strengthened to continue to walk with the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years and to see Him work, to see Him be a promise keeper, to see Him provide and care for, to see Christ be exalted, to read through and to study God's Word and to treasure. And we see the beauty of the Lord, our faith will inevitably be strengthened. Why is this? It's not because we have attained some superior Christianity. And sometimes I believe that's what we think, is that, well, if you're an older Christian, you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, you kind of graduating to this different status of Christianity. But it's not that we become greater Christians. It's because we witness the faithfulness of God time and time again. How can you witness the faithfulness of God like these men, and like saints of old, over decades of life and not be strengthened in your faith? Our faith strengthens the longer and closer we walk with the Lord. So this first thread is they're older, they're in their latter years, all three of these. And the second thread there is that they are all looking towards a future that they would not experience. They're all looking towards a future hope, a future reality that they're not going to experience in this life. You go back to the text there. You see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, Isaac, he invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Now, we don't know exactly when Isaac dies. Someone say that he'll be somewhere between Genesis 39 and Genesis 50. It's kind of a lot of time there. But he doesn't ultimately see the full blessings of his children and grandchildren. Doesn't see the inheritance of the promised land. But Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. And so as he's older, he's blessing his sons, trusting what God is going to do in and through them. And the same with Joseph at the end of his life. He made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. So in Genesis, he's foreshadowing what's going to happen in Exodus. And made mention of the exodus of Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. As we'll see in just a minute how important that is. But they are looking towards a future that they would not experience. Faith produces in us a hope for the future. Faith produces a hope for the future. And honestly, if you look at these three threads, this is the most significant. This is the one that ties these three guys together. It's this hope and looking towards the future blessings, the future promises of God, the future reality of these promises, the future inheritance of these promises that will not just be inherited in some part by their children and grandchildren, but will ultimately be inherited by all of God's people as we see God's promises are fulfilled in Christ. But they have this faith that produces a hope for the future. Practically, what they were trusting in was that God had a plan. That's what they were trusted in, that God had a plan to fulfill His promises. He had a means by which He would fulfill His promises. To these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, God did reveal, in part, very specific aspects of His plan. We go back to the Old Testament, you go back to Genesis, and you see how God showed up oftentimes in a pre-incarnate Christ and revealed His plan. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. Don't we wish that would happen to us sometimes, that Christ would show up pre-incarnate? Well, He can't. He's already shown up incarnate, and we have His Word, as we'll see this morning. So God speaks to us. But to these men, He did reveal aspects of His plan. But what's most interesting is that to us, He has revealed so much more to us about His plan for redemption through His Word, through the gospel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and you fill in the blank, they didn't have a copy of God's Word. They had these moments where God would reveal part of what He was going to do, but they didn't have His Word. Now, does God's Word give us the answer to all of life's questions? Does it give us every aspect of God's plan? Absolutely not. But it gives us God's plan. It gives us His revealed Word. And it gives us everything we need to trust in the Lord. It gives us everything we need to have confidence and hope in this life. It gives us everything we need not to have doubt if God is able to fulfill His promises. It gives us everything we need to have this faith and this assurance of things hoped for through His Word. ultimately his word is Christ and his revealed word in Scripture. They knew, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, they knew that they would be saved, but they didn't know how. Yet we, by God's word, we know that God sent his son Jesus to save his people. They knew that their children would be saved. But by his word, we know that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They knew of the promised land and sought the promised land. But by his word, we know that Christ is preparing a place for us that is free from sin, sickness, and death. So we know in full what they knew in part. So therefore, by faith, we can have the utmost confidence in the future. And isn't that so comforting today, that we can have this utmost confidence in the future? Because if we're to be honest this morning, we live in a bleak time, do we not? We like to say it's the bleakest of times in the history of humanity. I don't know if that's the case, because there's some pretty dark times in history if you read your textbook. But in our time, for sure, it is very bleak. There seems to be no end to political division and corruption. There seems to be no end to sexual sin and perversion. There seems to be no end to racism and hatred. There seems to be no end to strife and war. And what's our hope? We know it's not better government. We know it's not mankind getting better. We know it's not a new and better generation that's going to fix our problems. We know that our hope is Christ, that only Christ can change hearts. Only Christ can save individuals. Only Christ is the hope that we need. And only he will put an end to sin and brokenness in the fullness of time. Faith produces a hope for the future. And without Christ, it is a hopeless future. It's a sad reality of what lies ahead, both in this world and in the life after. But faith produces a hope for the future. Faith strengthens the longer that we walk with the Lord. And this third thread that we see here, and we've walked through it already to some degree, but they are ready for their own death. As we, every time we talk about death, we acknowledge that it's odd, it seems, to talk about death, but as believers, it shouldn't be odd to talk about death. And we'd be amiss, although we talked about it a few weeks ago, we'd be amiss to not recognize what's happening in this passage. Now, but with Isaac, again, we don't know exactly when he dies. And we know, you can go to Genesis 27:1. Just go me real quick to a couple spots in Genesis. Hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11. But in Genesis chapter 27, way early in this story, this is what we know of Isaac whenever he blesses Jacob. Genesis 27:1, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim and he could not see. He wasn't a spring chicken, right? He was older. Now, we don't know when he dies, but we know at that state right there, he's close. And so in his latter years, and his strength is not before him like it has been, he blesses Jacob. He calls, and we know this whole scene that unfolds in Genesis chapter 27. And so, again, I know we've talked about this death already, but it's these verses that give us great hope that faith will prepare us. Nothing prepares us for death like faith. And so not only do we see Isaac, but more clearly we see in Hebrews chapter 11 that these individuals were in essence preparing for their death. And faith is what allowed them to be ready for death. It says, by faith, Jacob, when dying. So that the writer brings out there to his original audience and to us today a reminder that he is at the end of his days and he knows it. And then by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life. Again, these guys know that their life is about to be over. And what do? They look to the future hope of the Lord. They look to the provision of the Lord. They look to God will continue to provide for their children and grandchildren. And he'll continue to do all that he's promised to do. So at the end of their days, their faith is still in the Lord. Then in their days, they don't give up. Then in their days, they don't say, you know what? I never walked into the promised land, or I never did this, I never did that. But they look to the Lord to say, God is still faithful. And he is going to do all that he said he's going to do. So we're going to pass this blessing on to our children, that they would have the same walk and love and relationship with the Lord. You can go to Genesis chapter 48 to see the story of Jacob. Genesis 48, verse 15, I do believe it is. Jacob is calling, obviously we know Jacob has a lot of children, but he's calling Ephraim and Manasseh to him. And in starting in verse 15, he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been shepherd all of my life long to this day." Can you hear those words in him, and can you feel those words in your own life? "The God who all my life long to this day, and the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And so you see Jacob here claiming the promise of God and remembering what he has promised, and blessing Joseph and blessing his sons, believing that the Lord's promise, having that hope for the future, embracing his death with confidence because of the faith that he had. Go over a couple of chapters of Genesis 50, and we see the end of Joseph's life. These interesting words about his bones and about Exodus. So in Genesis 50, verse 22, it says, "So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years old. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir and the son of Manasseh were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, and he swore to Isaac, and he swore to Jacob.' And then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.' So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Why is it so important that he gave instruction to place his bones? Because he knew his home was not in Egypt. He knew his home was in the promised land of God. He said, "Take me back to where God has promised us." And so it was faith that prepared these men to meet the end of their life. It was faith that prepared these men to meet their death. It is faith that gives us confidence, gives us hope. It gives us a peace in the midst of death. And not even just our own death, but in the death of any believer. We have that peace that surpasses all understanding. The seeing of death, the pain of death. Although there's mourning there, there is difficulty, there is struggle, but ultimately, it is peace. It is a calmness. It is an assurance. It is a confident expectation that Christ has indeed done what he said he would do, and he has gone on ahead and prepared a place for his people. True biblical faithfulness is one that endures until the very end, that sustains us and keeps us. Not because we're great believers, not because we attain some status, because the longer we walk with the Lord, the more we get to know the Lord. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we see his faithfulness. The longer we walk with the Lord, the longer we can trust the Lord. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we see and behold Christ. By faith, we are able to look back on the goodness of God in our life and look forward to the faithfulness of God even beyond this life. Nothing will prepare you for death like faith. Faith produces in us a hope for the future. And our faith is strengthened the longer we walk with the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to sing together this morning, to pray together, Lord, to be under your word, Father. And now as we have an opportunity to respond to you, Lord, through music in a moment, as we have an opportunity to gather around this communion table, Lord, to remember what you have done for us in Christ, and that our confident expectation that we know who it's placed in, that is Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all of your means of grace this morning. And we'd be encouraged today by the gospel. Help us to respond in faith in the rest of our service this morning. In Christ's name.